Good morning. Happy Saturday morning to you. This is Real Life Real Talk. I'm Rob Hall along with Beth Guckenberger. Good morning, Beth.
Good morning. Merry Christmas, Mr. Rob Hall.
How are you doing?
You know what? You just cannot wake up in a bad mood these last few days before the holidays. It's just lovely. The lights are on everywhere. Where I am right now, there's some snow. People just cheerful. You just extra greet people in the grocery store. You say things like Merry Christmas to the person selling you the movie ticket. It's pretty lovely here. What about you?
It is about the same. I mean, you're right about that. People tend to be a little bit perhaps friendlier, or they think they should be friendlier around Christmas time. So, yeah, I think everybody's in a pretty decent mood. We're actually turning the tables a little bit today. I am calling in from exotic locales as compared to you who are in the studio.
I mean, you are. You're at your mom's house today. And I just have a question for you, because as someone who's lived out of the country, I've spent many a night in my mom's house in the last 15 years. Sometimes when I go in and spend the night in my mom's house, I feel again like I'm a kid. You know what I mean? Like, I go sneak the cookies from the cookie place. She's had the cookies there for, you know, my whole entire life. And I tiptoe down the stairs in the middle of the night, even though I'm a grown woman and I can go anywhere I want to in the middle of the night. Like, I still have some of those, you know, like kid tendencies. When you go to your mom's house, do you still feel like a little kid?
I don't know if I feel like a little kid, but you certainly fall into those old patterns of things. And I think my mom actually likes treating me like a little kid. So you're never you're never too old to go home.
I think you're right. That's good. That's a good take home today for our Real Life Real Talk listeners. They can just turn it off right now. They got their message. It's never too late to go home. You're never too old.
Well, I hope they won't turn it off. We actually have a very good show again today. So don't turn it off. Don't listen to Beth.
Oh, yeah.
Don't turn it off.
Okay, Christmas traditions. Is there anything that, like, this weekend or this week you have particularly done that you do pretty much every year? Roasted chestnuts, family fire, snowball fight.
It's kind of interesting. Our kids are getting older now. Charlie is going to graduate from high school. Gracie's a freshman. So some of those little kid traditions have sort of gone away, and we're kind of stuck in the middle of not knowing what to do next. So we still do a couple of traditions, but they're more like little kid things. So we've got to come up with some new ones.
Let me recommend to you and all of your listeners to go Christmas caroling. I mean, I, too, have some high school students and a college student, too. And I love last year one of my high school students said, we're going to knock on the door, and then we're going to let the door open so that the cold air comes in. And then the people just stare at us while we try to remember all the words to these songs that I don't even sing the rest of the year. And then when they're done, they just are supposed to say, thank you, and then you leave. And I was like, exactly what you're supposed to do. And Merry Christmas. It is a fantastic, fantastic tradition.
Beth, as an introverted person, I'm an introverted person. And so I would rather have the worst migraine of my life
then
go
be the singer or the opener. Come on. Would you rather be the singer and then have to, like, hello, here I am, listen to me sing? Or would you rather be the, like, what do I say because someone just rang the doorbell in my house and I got to stand there wearing my pajamas because I wasn't counting on company? Should I invite them in? Do I have something to offer? Which would you rather?
This is a forced choice test, and the answer is C. I would rather have neither.
Oh, that makes me want to come to your door soon.
There is nothing about that tradition that I like. I don't want anybody knocking on my door that I'm not expecting, and I don't want to knock on somebody else's door.
Bah humbug to you, too. Another tradition that I make my children do is the Nutcracker, which it started actually a long time ago. My then-boyfriend, now husband, and I went every year for 5 straight years while we were dating to the Nutcracker. We got married in November.
I'm sure that was a highlight for him.
I bought tickets 3 weeks after our wedding, assuming we would again go to the Nutcracker that year. And he was like, over my dead body, will I ever again go to the Nutcracker? It's so sad. So I take my kids instead.
That's why Todd and I are very, very good friends. There's only so much Nutcracker one guy can take.
You know what? I mean, my littlest son was like, when they fight, they don't even actually touch each other. It's not even really like fighting. And that's just one scene of the whole ballet. And then one of my other kids is like, why don't they tell us what's going on? I don't even understand how is this a story? There's no words to it. And meanwhile, I'm like, isn't this an awesome tradition? We're all dressed up. We're downtown. It's so fun. Merry Christmas.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
I got the spirit. Do you make your kids
You do have
do
the spirit.
anything? I do have the spirit. You make your kids do anything like that? You know, like this is good for you, and you're gonna look back and love it. Not really.
I don't think so. I mean, we make them
Bah
do their
humbug.
homework, man, but that's not quite the same. I mean,
Humbug. You make them make sugar cookies?
we don't have
No.
to make them. They like to do that. I mean, they go to grandma's to
Like,
do that.
It's a Wonderful Life. You got any favorite Christmas movies you make them watch because you like it?
We watch movies, you know, that kind of stuff. We like watching Elf, and you know, I think it's like AMC or some station this year is running Christmas movies every night for December. So we kind of, you know, Miracle on 34th Street. That's a good one. The best Santa ever is the Santa in Miracle on 34th Street.
The old Miracle, the first version of Miracle on 34th Street.
Oh yeah, yeah. There's no other version. I mean, they might
oh,
have
they
made other
look
versions.
Like cheeks are red. Yeah.
But there are no other versions. And when he starts singing Dutch with the little girl who's, you know, coming in,
oh.
I mean, that's top notch. That's good cinema right there.
I do. Okay, so do you do, like on Christmas Eve, do you go to the mall and like just think of a gift you got to buy just so you can be part of the last minute rush?
That is one personal tradition that I do have. I do not go Christmas shopping until Christmas Eve.
I like that. Good sales.
Yeah.
A little spontaneity.
Well, it's not even so much about the sales. It's I already know what I want, so it's not like I'm running around. So it's actually like calm in the midst of the storm. I can just walk around and people watch and wait in line, and I don't feel like I'm in a hurry. It's kind of the hustle and bustle of Christmas.
I kind of think it's looking for a deer on the last day of hunting season. You just might—you may or may not see it, you know.
You're on a roll this morning.
Just
a deer, like looking for a deer on the last day of hunting season. Oh, I guess so, yeah. Except I know exactly where that deer is hiding. So.
Okay, well, in the jewelry department. And if you have to, at twice the cost.
That's exactly right, but it's worth it.
Speaking of making my kids do things, which I'm just promise listeners, it's not this bad, but I had them all go yesterday with me to the Dead Sea Scrolls exhibit. Holy cow, if you're ever near a museum that has something like that. It was unbelievable. It was so beautiful. It says you could take pictures of you can't take pictures of the actual scrolls, but all the rest of the artifacts you can. And in the museum wall, it encourages you to put it on Pinterest and Instagram, Facebook and Twitter. And so I was taking pictures of all the exhibits. I mean, museums are just not what they used to be. There was, like, sand on the floor in one of the rooms. Like, you were walking in, like, the metaphorical desert. It was pretty crazy. Just saying.
I don't remember seeing any pictures that you posted. Have you unfriended me or something? What's going on here?
Well, no, just kidding. I just haven't posted them yet, but I've taken a bunch.
Oh.
Actually, a lot of what I did was I took pictures of all the descriptions so I could go back later and read them slower. Because, you know, with kids, you're kind of like, you're just hitting the high points. Like, hey,
gotcha.
Kids, this is the Bible written thousands of years ago. It's still real. Look, there's a fish. Samuel, okay, moving right on. So
it was worth the trip is what you're saying.
Oh, it was totally worth the trip. And, again, we're all as a family, and then you make it all good by going to get ice cream afterwards and, you know.
What visit to the Dead Sea Scrolls is not complete without ice cream?
Just saying,
and I would imagine
25-degree weather.
Yeah, there you go.
Not a long
time. Yeah, that's just like the desert.
It's just like the desert. Yeah, I don't know how to describe it. I just want to encourage our sweet listeners to come up with fun activities you can do as a family yet still today and enjoy the holiday season.
That's a very good thing. I do have to clarify one thing for our listeners, however, and it is that it is that bad. You do drag your kids. I mean,
everywhere.
That's right. You make them sleep in an airport on the floor. I mean, who knows what you do? I mean, your kids live the adventure every day because they have to.
I always say to them, come to the Beth Show. You have a front row seat.
Hey, we got a good show today.
I am very excited about today's show. Listeners, stay tuned after the break. It's going to be a great show. We're going to talk a little bit about child sponsorship. We're going to talk about back-to-back ministry. So stay with us after the break.
He found shelter under the rock and lay there looking at the stars. God, do you remember me? In Tales of the Not Forgotten by Beth Guckenberger, Joel dares to ask for what he can't have. Serafina sacrifices what she can't afford to give. Ibram looks for an answer buried out of reach, and Christina, saved by a mission, searches for her own. Follow these life-changing stories as they take you on a journey to faraway lands and unfamiliar faces. Travel through their challenges and see the hand of the great story weaver writing endings you'd never imagine. These are the tales of the ones the world doesn't see, tales of the not forgotten. In Tales of the Not Forgotten, learn how God is the great story weaver, weaving the threads of our lives into a strong and beautiful sign of His love. Check out Tales of the Not Forgotten book and missions materials by Beth Guckenberger. For more information or to purchase, go to your local Christian supplier or visit standardpub.com. See lives transformed.
Welcome back. This is Real Life, Real Talk. I'm Rob Hall, along with Beth Guckenberger. Good morning, Beth. Happy Saturday morning to you.
Happy Saturday morning to you, Mr. Rob.
Hey, I wanted to, again, thank all of our listeners, by the way. Over 500,000 downloads this year of our show from BethGuckenberger.com. That's pretty amazing.
You know what? It's fun to think that we're having a conversation with an audience like that. I'm encouraged by it all. And today is exactly the kind of show I want us to be conversing about.
That's exactly right. And so if you want to be added to that number, go to BethGuckenberger.com, and you can download any of our shows, including this one, and, pass it on to someone else, whatever you want to do. So go there and do that. But today we have a very interesting show. It's kind of back-to-back focus today, which I kind of like. And we're going to talk about child sponsorship. And we're going to have some people in studio and calling in talking about their experience with child sponsorship for kids all around the world. But before we get to them, it's probably a decent idea to remind some people about Back-to-Back, how we're connected to Back-to-Back. They may be tuning in for the first time. So tell us a little bit, Beth, about Back-to-Back, what it is, who you are, whatever you need to tell us.
Absolutely. Well, my day job when I'm not doing Real Life, Real Talk, I'm the co-executive director of an international orphan care ministry called Back to Back Ministries. My husband and I have been doing that for 15 years now. We are in several parts of the world, in Africa, we're in India, we're in Haiti, and a couple places in Mexico. And so today I'm just excited. I'm excited on this a few days before the holidays to be able to take a few moments and talk about what's going on in other places around the world and how we can invite our listeners to engage in that that battle for children who don't have any parents. You know, the deal with orphans, there's 163 million of them around the world, is that 100% of them have either been abandoned or abused. And, gosh, they're like the low fruit hanging off the tree is what I always say. They're exactly who the enemy goes after first when he's up for an attack or he wants to recruit someone. 90% of them typically go into the black market or prostitution. So they begin out on the wrong foot because of things they didn't do to themselves, and then they get into cycles that just continue to repeat themselves. And after all, we've been in the same space, the same orphanages, for almost a whole generation, and I can tell you that what ends up happening is kids who leave the orphanage without any other form of intervention return within 5 years with offspring of their own. And so that cycle we long to break in the life of an orphan and tell a whole different kind of story about a redemptive God who's chasing after them. So, anyway, that's a little bit about Back-to-Back. And, there's lots of ways the listeners can be involved. They can come on trips. I want to invite them to my house in Mexico, and I want to invite them to go over to Africa. They've always had a dream to go to Africa or to spend time in India, where there are 33 million orphans living in that country all by themselves. I mean, it's just crazy.
Well, the thing that I really like about Back-to-Back that you mentioned is that our listeners or people who want to get involved, there's more than one way. There's child sponsorship, but you also have the opportunity to go on a trip, to actually visit, to do work alongside, to connect with not only the people who work in the field, but the orphans and impoverished people that Back-to-Back serves. And that's kind of a unique thing that you can do both of those things. I think the people that we're going to talk with today, have done both of those things. They've been to a ministry site either in Nigeria or Mexico, and so they have met the kids that they are child sponsors for. But the cool thing is that you don't have to do that. There's plenty of opportunity to sponsor children, and you don't have to visit those sites. But it's such a unique thing that Back to Back offers that you can do both of those things. There's not too many ministries where you can go in the field, partner alongside of those people, and meet the children at the same time. So that's a pretty cool deal that Back to Back has. And so I think our first guest, I'm not in the studio, but you are. I think our first guest can fill us in a little bit on child sponsorship. Isn't that true?
Yes, that's right. We have with us in the studio today Tally Betcher. Tally is our director of child sponsorship. She oversees all the kids who are sponsored and those who are still unsponsored in several different countries. So welcome to the studio today, Tally. Why don't you start off by telling us a little bit about how the child sponsorship works?
Hello, good morning. Can you hear me?
All right, fantastic. Tally, tell us a little bit about how child sponsorship works. If somebody wants to be a child sponsor, is it something where they just write a few letters a couple times a year, or how might we invite them into a relationship?
Basically, if you're interested in sponsoring a child, you can contact me, and I can help set you up with, you know, it really depends on the person. Some people have a specific country in mind that they want to sponsor, or a specific age group, or a gender, or different things, and I can usually try to connect people with the best fit for them in terms of the child and what they're kind of looking to do. If they want to take a trip sometime, I usually try to connect them with a child from the place that they want to go. That way they do have the opportunity to meet them and make that connection a lot deeper.
That's fantastic. And one of the things that I really like is that we invite folks to not just be a financial sponsor, but to be in relationship. And so, like, just this last week, there was a child who was sick in one of the orphanages that I know about, and probably their number one, I mean, certainly prayer warrior and an advocate was the sponsor that they'd had for a couple years, someone who was notified when that child was sick, not just every quarter when we want a check from you, but instead, you know, really this is what's going on with this child, and as part of their extended family, will you be involved?
Yeah, it was an amazing thing to see how the families really stepped up, and because that child is a part of their family. And so just as if you had a child living in another country, if they got sick, you're going to be worried sick, and you're going to be calling me and asking me what's going on and asking what they can do and how they can get involved and do something to be there for her. And it was a great just testimony to the strength and the just the uniqueness of the program and how it connects people here to children there and really lets them be a difference for them that they wouldn't necessarily be able to be otherwise.
Well, we have someone on. We have a couple people on the line that will be sharing with us a little bit about the relationship with their sponsor child. And the first one is someone named Amy Rudge. Amy, are you on the phone with us today?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hi. Good morning, Amy. Merry Christmas.
Thanks.
Hey,
Merry Christmas to you.
Tell us a little bit about your sponsor child, maybe how you met them and what your relationship looks like with them today.
Sure. I sponsor a 15-year-old girl from San Jose Children's Home down in Cancun. And I met her originally. My job is one that I get to go to Cancun 3 to 4 times a year. And so I take groups down with Back to Back. And I met her down there probably 2 years ago. Probably the first time we went down there and just connected with her on a personal level. I work with teenagers for a living, and so having a teenager there, it was easy to connect. And our relationship's great. I mean, I get to see her 3 to 4 times a year, and so get to connect with her and talk with her and find out what's going on in her life and make sure she has what she needs. And she really is a special part of my family. So.
And tell me, like, you know, how is she a part of your thought life and in your, like, are you praying for her? Are you reaching out to her via social media? How are you actually involved in her life?
Right. Well, I would say, I mean, my relationship with her looks just like any of my friendships would with somebody in another country, for sure. You know, I do spend a lot of time praying for her pretty much, you know, weekly. She's on my prayer list, and I have pictures of her on my fridge. I write letters back and forth with her, and then I'm able also to communicate with the staff down in Cancun, so they give me updates on what's going on with her education and with the other things that she's doing in life and how she's doing and making sure that she's happy and healthy and getting the things that she needs. So the most special part is when I get to see her. It's just a magical moment, you know, the first time that you see her for the week when you're there, and just being able to hold her and read with her and hang out with her and listen to her is really special.
One of the things about Back to Back is there are fantastic organizations out there that are relief-based, and we certainly support and encourage folks to be a part of their ministries. But our ministry is more development. We really try to not just meet a particular physical need like medical or hunger, but also be involved in the child's life holistically. So we're a part of their educational needs, we're part of their social needs, their emotional needs, certainly their spiritual needs. And so as a sponsor, one of the things that we really like is that socially you're being involved in their life, spiritually you're praying for them and maybe encouraging them to in their relationship with the Lord or sending them spiritual materials. You know, we want you to be part of their educational life, cheering them on. In most of the countries where we work, education for the orphan might stop at 6th grade, maybe 9th grade at the latest. So sponsors really play a critical role in that cloud of witnesses, you know, that cheerleading, that stay in school, open up the doors of opportunity for you. I'm going to be here behind you. I really like that kind of holistic approach. Do you feel like you get coached in that, or that comes to you naturally, or how might you touch some of those other areas of that, what we call the child development model?
Well, for me, some of it comes pretty naturally because I work with teenagers on a regular basis, so that's kind of the things that I'm doing here in the States. But one of the things that drew me to the child sponsorship, and specifically Sandy, was that when I met her, she was 13, and for some reason I was just drawn to her relationally, but one of the things I know to be true is that education after, you know, middle school pretty much stops for these kids. And so, you know, I looked at Julie Cooper and started asking her questions about Sandy and whether she was sponsored and what was going to happen to her. And just recognizing that I would be able to play a role past her middle school years. She's bright. She's got just such a sweet spirit about her. And I know that she has been created to make a difference in this world. And that's what God's done in her. And so I wanted to be a part of helping her to move past where she started. And so it really did play a big role in my decision to sponsor Sandy specifically, because I knew that the time was coming that she was going to need some help to get through high school and to do whatever it is that God's called her to do in this world. So that was a huge piece of it to me, was being able to be a part of that development process. And so emotionally, to be able to hear from Andrew and Anna Conrad what's going on with her life emotionally, and to pray for her in that, to pray with her in that, I think is really a big piece of it as well. So,
well, Amy, we just want to thank you on behalf of Back to Back and really on behalf of her, that we just appreciate that you've chosen to take your time and your resources and invest in one life, to drill down into one person. You know, Andy Stanley says, do for one what you wish you could do for all. I appreciate the fact that out of 163 million children that God caused you, created you, called you to build a bridge between you and Sandy, and then ultimately we pray between Sandy and the Lord. So anyway, Merry Christmas, and thanks for all that you have done for us and for Sandy.
Well, absolutely. I mean, it's been more of a blessing to me than, I'm sure it's a blessing to her to have a sponsor, but it works both ways as well. And I feel a huge blessing being a part of God's call to the kingdom. You know, he talks so much about caring for widows and orphans, and so we just should, you know. I mean, there's really not any other, any other question. It's that we should, that he calls us to do it, and we receive benefits when we're obedient to the Lord. And so I know that my benefit is having another member of my family. So it's super special.
Well, thanks. Thank you again from the bottom of our heart.
Well, you know, Beth, it is, it just is amazing to hear stories like that about how people are motivated to sponsor a child. And if that's touching someone's heart out there, backtoback.org, you can go, and there are pictures and kids out there who would love to have a sponsor. So we would love for that to happen. So this is Real Life, Real Talk. I'm Rob. That's Beth. And we hope you're having a great Saturday morning. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care, assists senior citizens and adults to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Visiting Angels has over 400 franchised locations across the nation. Experienced, compassionate caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework up to 24 hours a day. Rates are affordable, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. Visiting Angels has cared for hundreds of thousands of seniors nationwide. Franchises are available. Call Visiting Angels toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE. To find an office near you, visit www.visitingangels.com. For home care for your loved ones, call Visiting Angels now at 877-374-LIVE. That's Visiting Angels, America's choice in home care at 877-374-LIVE.
Energy, immunity, vitality. We all want it. Hi, I'm Mike Buck for Nature Bee Plant Pollen. It's the answer. Try the Health Wonder from Down Under. Easy to digest because of our proprietary potentiation process. Broken cell wall technology makes it bioavailable so it goes buzzing right into your body. Stay mentally sharp. Meet the demands of the day with Nature Bee. Fresh from the hives in clean green New Zealand. A superfood. Free from petrochemicals, additives, preservatives, fillers, binders, sugar. No gluten, no dairy. Even diabetics can enjoy Nature Bee. Forget the handful of stuff you're taking already. Simple solution, 2 capsules a day of Nature Bee. You call toll-free to New Zealand, get a 6-month supply right now for $99.95 plus delivery. 3 extra months for free with Nature Bee's unconditional money-back guarantee. Come on, healthy goodness, praise in the Bible, 37 cents a day. Toll-free, 1-866-834-8355. Or easier yet, collect your Nature Bee online at the website. Nature Bee, that's naturebee.com.
If becoming or staying debt-free is important to you, you're not alone. 10 years ago, I was worried sick, overwhelmed with debt, and so tired of not having enough at the end of the month to make ends meet. I was working a full-time job, but getting deeper in debt every month, and I hated being away from my children. I finally said, that's enough, and I made a decision to do whatever it took to get free from the terrible debt that was causing me so much stress. I'm Gina Neef, and I want to invite you to find the same financial freedom that I found. Not only did I pay my way out of debt, I was also able to leave my corporate job and work from home and be completely available to my family. For years now, I've worked part-time hours, making more than a full-time job would ever pay. I remember the pain of being in over my head, and I'll never forget the joy of becoming debt-free. That's why I show others how to do the same. If you're ready to work from home and find financial freedom, then I'm eager to show you how. Go to findingfreedomnow.com. Discover how you can get free from debt. Go to findingfreedomnow.com.
Mary could get away with being an awful person because she was a killer salesperson. So when Mary leveled outbursts at some poor soul, her bosses just looked away. As for her co-workers, they kept their distance. All but Sandra, who could manage a kind attitude for anyone, Mary included. No real surprise, then, that when Sandra had a personal crisis, who showed up first and helped the most? Right, Mary. Not long after, a new side of Mary emerged at work, too. A better side. This is Howard Butt Jr. of Laity Lodge. Odd as it seems, the best way to reap kindness, even from rock-hard soil, is to sow kindness in the first place, in the high calling of our daily work.
For more information, visit ourdailywork.org.
Welcome back. This is Real Life Real Talk. I'm Rob Hall along with Beth Kuchenberger, and we are glad that you're joining us here on this, what is for me at least, I don't know what it sounds like for you too, Beth, like cold, blustery December morning.
Yeah, Feliz Navidad, people. It is like, I mean, wool sweater, big coat. I think the cold front's come across the whole country. So it's time to put the fire in the fireplace, warm up the hot chocolate, put on the fleece pajamas. Let's just, you know, hunker down.
Absolutely. Well, we're interesting. I mean, I loved hearing that first segment, Amy talking about her sponsorship of a child in Cancun. I was thinking as she was talking, and this is probably a question for Tally, who's joining us. You might want to introduce Tally. I'm just talking. We're in the kitchen together.
I like that.
So,
yeah, we have Tally Dutcher's here with us. She's the Child Sponsorship Director for the organization Back to Back Ministries, which is my day job, international orphan care ministry that serves children in three different continents. So welcome again.
Yeah, so I had a question for Tally as I was thinking through listening to Amy talk. And it sounds like Amy has been sponsoring the same child for a long time. And so I wondered, you know, what kind of commitment, if I were to sponsor a child, would I be getting into?
Well, usually when you sign up to sponsor a kid, we ask that you make at least a one-year commitment for that child.
Mm-hmm.
But usually from what I've seen is it goes much longer than that. We have seen people who have been sponsoring children for years, and some of them have seen their sponsored child graduate college even, and just being a part of their lives through that whole process. So it doesn't have to end after 1 year. You can certainly continue, and that relationship can grow and build, and you can see the success of one life through that relationship. So,
you know what I like? I like stories. I mean, certainly there are some easy, beautiful stories of people who have just been in a great relationship with a great kid who all they needed was a little bit of opportunity and a lot of support. But I was just, a story just went through my mind of a harder story, a messier version of one of those relationships. We had a student who, his name was Cesar, and he was going through junior high and then high school. And then while he was a college student, you know how, like, in college campuses, those credit card people come and, like, recruit kids to get credit cards and give them, like, free pizza and free T-shirt and all kinds of things? Well, Cesar fell prey to one of those schemes, and he got himself a credit card, and then not really fully understanding how that worked, he got into a little bit of debt, and then those debtors started calling him on his cell phone, and those collectors can sound kind of scary if you don't know what you're doing. And so he got really afraid one night, and he stole some money from us. And as a result of those choices he made, we needed to remove him for a period of time from our program. And it was a time when typically, maybe in a traditional, you know, sponsor-child relationship, that would have been terminated because he's not part of our program. But his sponsors stayed in his life. Certainly we as staff stayed in his life, even though he couldn't live with us. And a year later, on what was Thanksgiving Day, which, of course, we don't celebrate Thanksgiving in Mexico, but on this day, he knows that we all get together. He came and he brought us an envelope full of money that was was what he had stolen from us, plus a little bit more. And on that day, you know, my husband was able to say to him, this is more a sign of your character than anything that you ever took from us. And, you know, essentially, welcome home, son. And his sponsors went ahead and helped continue to pay for his last semester of college, and then they flew down and were a part of his college graduation. And it was actually one of the sweetest, most redemptive days, because it wasn't an easy story. It wasn't a story where everything went right and everybody did all the right things. And so look at this beautiful ending. It was kind of a more realistic, a more gritty version of that sponsor-child relationship. But their stick-with-itness, their perseverance, their we still care about you, we believe in you, all of that stuff that's a whole lot more than a monthly fee that they pay to our organization, that is what in part pulled Cesar to that college graduation. And today he's a gainfully employed professional who has broken that poverty cycle. Mm-hmm. And I just can't overemphasize enough the role that sponsors play. But, Robert, we have someone else on the line. We have another sponsor here with us. I know, Hope Berkey. Hope, are you with us this morning?
Yes, I am.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hope, tell us a little bit about the child that your family sponsors and kind of how your relationship has unfolded with her over the last couple years.
Okay. So when I was 11 years old, my dad and I went on our first mission trip with Back to Back Ministries in Monterey, and that is when I first met my sponsorship girl. Her name is Alondra. And actually, I first met her sister named Betty, and me and her were kind of like buds because we were around the same age and we hung out. And then my dad and Alondra really connected, and their relationship developed as we kept going down to Mexico. And then when we heard about the sponsorship program, my dad was like, all right, Alondra, like, we have to sponsor Alondra right now. And basically through that, me and Alondra have become friends. Now, I Skyped her the other day. We had a great conversation. I sent her Christmas presents, birthday presents, all the time, and we just have developed such a great friendship.
It's interesting. It's interesting, Hope, for our listeners. I don't think that is clear that you're still in high school.
Oh yes, I'm 18.
Right, and so that's not the typical child sponsor that we think of, you know, when we think of a gainfully employed adult person or something like that. So I just think it's great that as a high school student that you've taken this on as a calling in your life to sponsor another kid. So how old is Alondra right now?
She is 17, I believe.
So when you talk to each other, you have some of the same, right, the same kinds of experiences, the same kinds of struggles, the same kinds of hopes for your future.
We're both around the same points in our life right now, so we're able to connect with each other.
And I know, just because I know you and I've seen you there many, many times before, will you tell our listeners a little bit about some of the ways in which your relationship with Alondra, or your relationship really with any of the kids there, has shaped some of your high school experience? Like, I know it was about a year ago, right, you collected some blankets?
Yes. Through my experiences with Back-to-Back, I've kind of been able to share that with people in my high school that aren't able to go down to Mexico and experience that. So about 2 or 3 years ago, I think, I raised money to bring blankets down in Mexico because, like you said, it gets pretty cold there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was able to take pictures of kids and just really, like, I don't know, get the people from my high school involved by going to Mexico and handing out these blankets with the money that they donated. And they were able to experience what I experienced in Mexico.
I really like part of our DNA, gosh, is to be relational, to just invite people into whatever it is that we are experiencing. And I appreciate the fact that you were inviting the folks in your environment, at that point your high school students, into relationship with the kids that you've fallen in love with in another country. I mean, that's just not what the average high school student is doing, frankly.
No.
I'm interested, Hope, you know, as a high school kid, that when you introduce this idea to your friends or people in it, did they look at you cross-eyed? Were they excited about it? I mean, what was their initial reaction? I think for a lot of kids your age, there's a sort of a fear or apprehension that people might think you're weird. But what was their response to you?
I get very half and half responses. Some people are like, you're doing what? You want me to donate money to what? Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And other people are like, I want to go to Mexico tomorrow. Let's go. Let's pack our bags.
Yeah, and if people have any questions, if any of our listeners are out there and thinking, gosh, I would love to collect things for kids in Africa or in India and Haiti or Mexico, you know, I just want to encourage you listeners, you can write us at backtoback.org, and we'd be happy to tell you about current needs that are going on and opportunities.
So, Hope, thanks so much for joining us, and just thanks for your love for Alondra, your support of her, the relationship you've built with her. What a great story. So thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
Yep. Have a Merry Christmas.
I think one of the things I really like also about Hope's story is that you can be a point person. Maybe the idea of biting off a whole sponsorship or biting off a whole project of collecting blankets, it sounds like too much because of other things that you have going on in your life. But you can just be the coordinator. You can be the organizer, right, Tally? And if you're the main point person, other people can give through you.
Yeah, absolutely. We have a lot of people who sort of take on the child sponsorship as a group and sort of make that commitment together that way to sort of ease the burden to sponsor a child fully for the month. And it's a great thing because we see the relationship that build through a lot of different people then, and just how that is so beneficial for the child.
Well, another great story. And I think we've got one more sponsor after the break. So we hope you'll join us. This is Real Life, Real Talk. I'm Rob Hall along with Seth Gutenberger. We hope you're having a great Saturday morning. And we will see you back here in about 60 seconds.
Last October, I went on a back-to-back mission trip to Nigeria, where I had a chance to meet the boy I sponsored through back-to-back. The moment I met him, it became real that Jeremiah was not just a boy in a picture. He was a boy with dreams, hopes, and a story just like my own kids. At that moment, I saw how back-to-back is changing the lives of orphans around the world. I realized that in the same way I'm here for my children to be part of their stories, I can also be part of Jeremiah's. In the same way that my children can be a brother or sister to each other, they can care for Jeremiah. They can write him letters and share their stories as they grow up. We can help him to receive an education and food to fill his stomach. But more importantly, we can be involved in his life and encourage him to follow his dreams. I learned that sponsoring a child through back-to-back is not just about financial support for an orphan. It is about allowing God to intertwine your story and your heart with a child in need. For more information on sponsoring an orphan like Jeremiah through back-to-back, contact 513-754-0300 or email at childsponsorship@back2back.org.
Welcome back. This is Real Life, Real Talk. Happy Saturday morning to you. I'm Rob Hall along with Beth Kuchenberger. We hope you're doing fabulous. It's the Saturday before Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Feliz Navidad, Rob Hall.
Feliz Navidad to you as well, mi amiga. How's that?
Very good. Muy bien. Muy bien.
Thank you. That's about as good as it gets.
Okay, well.
I am digging this show.
Me too, honey. I am too. I think this is the time of year to be talking about relationships. I'm going to be at a church this evening, speaking at a Saturday night and Sunday morning services. And the subject that the church asked me to speak on is the depth of relationship. That we, at this time of year, more than ever, we think to ourselves, we take a, you know, kind of account of our relationships and the quality and the substance of the conversations and the people we spend time with. And this show fits right in with that kind of. That kind of evaluation, that kind of, you know, self-checking out. How was this year? Did I make a difference? How can I make a difference? With whom did I make a difference? And so anyway,
now,
I'm glad.
I know that Tally Betcher is joining us. She's in studio with you. I'm off in Cleveland, Ohio, my hometown, my favorite place on the planet. Well, maybe not my favorite place on the planet, but
home
up there in the top five.
Professional sports, yeah.
Right. But I'm interested, yeah, Tally mentioned right before the break, that she is that there are plenty of people who will sponsor a child in a group together. So I guess one thing we haven't talked really about is what does it cost to sponsor a child per month, and you know what percentage of those people might actually bond together and do it as a group.
Well, it costs $100 a month to sponsor a child. We also offer, because we know that can sound like a lot of money to a lot of people. We offer half sponsorships at $50 a month. And then, like I said, you can get a group of people. If 100 or even 50 is too much for you for the month, you can sort of come in as a group to do that. And we actually have even, I just remembered a group of junior high girls who decided they wanted to take on a child, and they have been babysitting and pooling their money and sponsoring a little boy in Cancun together. And so you can certainly do that.
And what percentage of kids in our program are unsponsored? How many kids do we need to have sponsored still at the end of the year here?
We have a little over 200 kids who don't have sponsors currently. We have around 500 kids in the program right now. So I think I ran the numbers yesterday, actually, and it was 58%. So if you're looking for an exact number, are sponsored currently. And so...
So if, like, I'm thinking, if you're someone who's like, gosh, I got a heart for Africa, I have a heart for India, I might not ever go there, sponsoring a child's a way you can make an impact on that continent, isn't it?
Certainly. I think that's one of the great things about this program is that most people, we want to do something to help, and we know there's a great need out there, but we don't really know how. And then sometimes if we're just giving money, it doesn't feel like enough, mm-hmm. at least if you're like me. And so you want to sort of build into somebody and really, truly make a difference and have that relationship with somebody. And it's hard to, how do you coordinate that if you're just, you know, one little person sitting at home like, I want to do something. And this is a great way to, you get to connect with one child and build into that child. And I can tell you, I've seen those kids and the way they talk about their sponsors and the way they will put their sponsor's picture next to their little bed or mm-hmm. in their little box of items that they have. And just knowing that there is one person out there who knows them and loves them is all the difference for some of these kids. And so you can make a difference, and it is possible. That's just what I want to encourage you all to know.
Before we go, we have one more caller on the line and one more sponsor on the line. But right before we go to that, Tally, real quick, if I'm sponsoring for $100 a month, what is the benefit for the child that I'm sponsoring? What's involved? What do I get for $100?
What do you get as a sponsor, or what does the child get?
No, what does the child get for what am I sponsoring them for?
So the way our sponsorship program works is actually the money goes towards the home that the child lives at. Because if you think about if some of the kids in the home were sponsored and some were unsponsored, we can't give some of the kids, you know, meat and produce in their diet and the other kids not just because they don't have a sponsor somewhere. So the way that it works is the money actually goes towards the home, and that money has gone towards getting that meat and that protein and produce in their diet that they wouldn't normally have. We've been able to hire psychologists and social workers and tutors, and really sponsorship is how we have funded the development of the child in the homes that we serve. So it's been a huge benefit, and just, you know, it goes towards all the needs of the child, and we really focus on those five areas of the child development, the social, physical, spiritual, emotional, and educational. And so it all goes towards those needs of the child.
Oh, which I love, because just as someone who lives with orphans all the time, they absolutely need their leafy vegetables and their protein. But more than that, they also need someone to listen to them professionally. They need tutors for school. They need all those things that the sponsorship money supports. But we have someone else on the line with us. Kelly Bergdorf is here with us. She's a sponsor. Her and her husband sponsor a child. And Kelly, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here with my husband, Brian.
Hello.
Hi, guys. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Beth. Thanks for having us.
Hey, tell us a little bit about your sponsor child and maybe when you met them and just kind of how this relationship has unfolded for you.
We have a child in Nigeria. His name is Godwin, and we started sponsoring him earlier this year. And we were blessed to go visit Nigeria this summer, and we went to his after-school program, and we got to meet him and sit down and talk with him and just learn a little bit about who he is and what makes him tick, and it was just awesome. So we were real lucky.
How old is Godwin? How old is he? And what kind of situation does he live in? Does he live with a lot of other kids? Tell us a little bit about that.
Godwin is, I believe he's 11. His he lives in a home. His mother, it might even be his grandmother, is widowed. And so there's no male in the home to take care of him. He's the oldest of a few siblings, and what I found most interesting about him was the amount of time he has to travel to get to school every day. I think he walks about an hour, 45 minutes or an hour to get to school every day, and that's something that we help provide for him is the money for him to have an education.
Which really, you know, in the third world, is just absolutely the difference between a future and...
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And not... One of the things I like that sponsors do, just kind of without even realizing it, is they create an expectation for that child that he's going to go to school. Because you're sending money for school, you're writing them letters about school, you're asking them questions about school. There is this, like, sense, like when I grew up, it never dawned on me I might not go to the sixth grade. I mean, I went to sixth grade because every adult
right.
in my life assumed I was going to the sixth grade.
Mm-hmm.
And if left to myself, I mean, of course I wouldn't have wanted to go to the sixth grade. And if I had to figure out my own way to get to school at 11 years old, I might not have even known which way to walk. But really, part of what sponsors do is they create this breadth of, again, this cloud of witnesses, these adults that are coming behind a child saying, you're going to go to school. Here's the money to go to school. Here's my questions about school. And here's how I'm going to celebrate your grades in school. And just that's such positive pressure, doesn't sound like the right word, encouragement towards a future that we believe that God is unveiling for that child. And that you are a part, as a sponsor, a part of that story. I mean, That's really, only God could like connect you to the life of an 11-year-old African boy. That doesn't even make sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
On your own, you could have never done that. You know, that's just God's sweet blessing and the way that he writes stories, that he would weave those into each other.
Yep, and that's the exciting thing, and especially after going over there to visit them, like there's such a cycle of poverty, and it's really, like that's also part of our prayer life for Godwin, is just, you know, praying that he'd break out of the cycle of poverty, because really the education is what gets them out of that cycle, and in Nigeria, it's one of those things where they live day to day, and so, and they just, if you hold on to something for a day, it may be taken from you tomorrow. And so education is something that can never be taken away. So that's one thing that really excites us about supporting for education.
Yeah, we just, again, want to thank you for your relationship with Godwin. And just in every way, we'd love to encourage our listeners to consider, again, the folks in Nigeria have all kinds of struggles. There's lots of persecution going on for the Christian church. And in Africa, one in every eight Africans is Nigerian. It's the most populated, densely populated country in that continent. It's utterly strategic, both geographically and demographically.
Mm-hmm.
And so finding a Nigerian boy and growing him up in the ways of the Lord and educating his mind and opening the doors of opportunity. I mean, there's just really no telling what God's going to do in Godwin's life. And the fact that he brought some sweet American couple to be in his life, I mean, it's just not on accident. He is writing a fantastically big story for Godwin, and we're grateful that you've chosen to invest in him and his life. So,
yeah.
So thanks for doing that.
Thank you.
Our pleasure. Yeah.
Rob, you know, I love the sponsorship program, and I love the idea that we are not just talking about, you know, financial resources. We are talking about relationship, but that the best, you and I have talked on the show many, many times, the best kind of service, the best kind of giving is given in the context of relationship.
And the great thing about today's show, and I'm sure somebody thought of this for us, but, I mean, you had three different kinds of relationship. You had really a peer relationship with Hope. You have a young married couple that is sponsoring someone in Nigeria. And then you had Amy as well, an older woman who is doing that. And so, you know, if our listeners are sitting out there and say, hey, you know, I'm not the right kind of person to do that, what better show to say it doesn't matter. There are 163 million orphans in the world, 200 of them with back-to-back right now, who would love to have somebody come alongside. All of those kind of things, just absolutely fantastic. Tal, before we leave here in a minute, remind our listeners how they can get to you or how they can sponsor a child.
You can go onto our website at www.backtoback.org, and under the Get Involved tab, there's a sponsorship page that we have, and it has a whole bunch of questions and answers, and you can get more information there, and you can fill out a little form on there to have me contact you, and I can help you get set up with a child.
Sounds
next
great.
Next week we have...
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, next week we have Hal Runkle from the Scream Free Institute.
Well, that'll be, man, I need that. Hey, this is Real Life Real Talk. I'm Rob Hall along with Beth Guckenberger. Merry Christmas to you, and we will see you next Saturday at the same time.
Merry Christmas, everyone.